Richard Mizrach's current series of desert photographs resembles a scene from the post-apocalyptic movie Road Warrior. The crater-pocked landscape is barren except for blown-out vehicles, twisted metal shrapnel, and unexploded bombs. This area of the northern Nevada desert has been used by the Navy as a test bombing range on and off since the 1940s. Mizrach has been photographing scenes from American deserts since the mid-70s. This latest series is called Bravo 20, the name assigned by the Navy to the Nevada site. The Bravo 20 photos have been on exhibit in Nevada since November. The photos are also collected in a book called Bravo 20 that includes a history of the area and a proposal to turn the bomb site into an environmental park. In the introduction to his book, Mizrach describes the area as a place of great beauty and great horror side by side.
Bravo 20 bombing range, it's set in the vast Carson Sink in northwestern Nevada, and it's a huge alkali flat, sort of like a billboard table that's just covered with talcum powder. It's beautifully flat, and it's got a wonderful quality to it. And then right in the center of this vast alkali flat is a 160-foot-tall volcanic plug, which is actually a Northern Pirate Ritual site. And it's a really unusual geologic features, and the light and the space, it's sort of classic desert, and it's quite beautiful. And layered over that is the horror of our devastation, just flung upon this beautiful landscape, which is just thousands of craters and bombs and metal, shrapnel from exploded bombs and targets.
How much time did you spend in Bravo 20?
I began photographing in 1986, and what I would do with my dog Kodak is we'd go out and camp for maybe 2, 3, 4 days at a time, photograph, and then come back out. And over the next year and a half, I would continue back.
Was it legal for you to be there?
Well, interestingly enough, in 1985, a friend discovered that in fact Bravo 20 was public land, and that the Navy had been bombing it illegally. And they created a camp in and a protest to bring that to public attention. And in fact, it was public land. So from 1985 to 1986, since it was public land, I had all the rights to be there. And in fact, the Navy didn't have the right to bomb it. So I was legally there. And then at the end of 1986, the Military Lands Withdrawal Act of 1986 was passed and signed into law, giving Bravo 20 to the Navy legally to use. However, I had purchased part of a mining claim that we took out on Bravo 20 right in the center of the target, and the 1872 mining law preempted the new national law, and in fact, my mining claim was good. So we sent a letter to the Navy saying that we'd be out there mining our claim day and night, and that they could not begin bombing, and this would be their only notice. So I was able to photograph into 1987 as well. And it wasn't until 1988 that the Navy went ahead and condemned our claim, forcing us out. But we are contesting that claim in courts.
During the time when you were photographing in the area of Bravo 20, were you afraid of detonating bombs that had been unexploded?
Initially, I was very afraid of those. I was terrified. In fact, when I was first taken out there, I had no interest in staying overnight at all. But my friends who had been out there many times told me that it really wasn't that dangerous. And they told there's a number of signs to look for. There's certain bombs that were practice or dummy bombs and certain ones that were live. And, for instance, the live bombs were supposed to have either what's called alligator skin or yellow stripes on them or a fuse intact. And the dummy bombs were painted blue and were different. But the problem was, is being in the desert for any period of time, a lot of those signs sort of wore off and you couldn't really tell. So I was just very careful out there, and after spending a couple of terrifying nights out there, I found that nothing went off and it was fine.
You are proposing that America make the area of Bravo 20 into an environmental park. What would be the purpose of the park?
The idea behind a park, it's actually one that at first was sort of a vehicle for satire, but it's become very serious for me. Just like the Vietnam Memorial, there's been thousands of war memorials since the beginning of time, and very few of them are memorable or significant in a sense. But the Vietnam War Memorial has become a very profound monument, both to the men that have lost their lives, but also to the dark period of the Vietnam War. And I think we've hit such an incredible environmental crisis. We have nothing like that for the environment. We have no environmental memorial. And I think that Bravo 20 has become a big metaphor, both for military expansionism, but also for the way we sort of abuse the environment in a dramatic way, that it actually would be a very important educational center.
Well, your suggestions include an area called Devastation Drive, Boardwalk of the Bombs, and a display that will call attention to the Navy's flawed environmental studies. This doesn't really sound like the type of thing the government's going to get behind to, you know, declare a national park.
At first, I mean, obviously, it's not the kind of thing that the Navy or the government's going to be particularly sympathetic to, because it is embarrassing on one hand. On the other hand, the idea now is to first of all make the issues known and the problems known. And I think the way the national park idea is fleshed out both in the exhibition and in the book, it does sort of detail how it would actually function well. I know it's a little close to home right now, and I can't imagine anybody embracing this right now. So right now it'll have to suffice as an idea. But you'd be amazed, the response for the exhibition in Nevada that recently opened has received a tremendous amount of response, public response, media response, and the people in Nevada are very much have taken the project, the national park idea, very seriously and embrace it. So I think that remains to be seen how it sort of takes on over the next 10 years. The proposal is for the year 2001.
And that's the year that the military loses its rights to Bravo 20.
What happens is the rights to bomb, they have a 15-year period now where they can use the range as a bombing range. In the year 2001, it does go before Congress again, and the military and Congress will need to talk about what the future use will be. My idea is sort of an opposition, a sort of a alternative use of Bravo 20 that would serve the public. Since it was taken illegally from the public domain in the first place, I think it should be returned to the public domain. Now, there is another possibility, which would be to just let Bravo 20 reclaim itself, let the desert sort of take itself back over and just turn it back into a desert reserve. But I thought about that a lot, and I thought that it might actually serve all desert places or environment better if it was turned into a place of education as well.
In your proposal to turn Bravo 20 into an environmental park, mm-hmm. you suggest that, of course, like in all parks, there needs to be a gift shop. What would you envision being in the gift shop? Your photos,
right.
Maybe?
Actually, we should have some, instead of posters of Yosemite under snow, maybe bomb-covered landscapes. But seriously, it's been sort of the fun part of that has been that the Bravo 20 National Park is a little bit of a poke at the national park system as well. Generally, the national parks have sort of focused on the spectacular landscapes, the geological wonders of the United States, like Yosemite or Death Valley. But one of the points about turning Bravo 20 into a national park is the idea that there's the other landscapes with which we live or are involved, the less spectacular ones need to be paid attention to as well. And in my exploration of that whole idea, I looked at the gift shops in the national parks, and they're really pretty tacky. You find matches with pictures of Half Dome Monument and things like that. So what I did is I've designed, since every national park has to have a visitor center, and then the visitor center has a gift shop, I figured I would follow through with the whole idea. So our gift shop, the Bravo 20 National Park gift shop, will have serious things from films and books on military issues, but it'll also have some fun things. So I've designed a number of things like camouflage porta potty salt and pepper shakers, no first strike matches where you open up the matches and all the heads are cut off, camouflage tote bags and T-shirts and so forth. And one of my favorites, which I've as part of the exhibit, I've actually have display cases showing these things. I've actually had these designed and made. And I have Bravo 20 National Park bolo ties, which are quite beautiful, made from corroding metal in the shape of Nevada. So it's been a little tongue-in-cheek, but actually one of the things about this whole using ideas like Devastation Drive and Boardwalk of the Bombs or even the visitor center gift shop items, the humor is a really powerful delivery system, pun intended, for getting across ideas that are a little bit dark. And also the beauty of the photographs has been something I've thought about a lot. If anything, I have been accused of aestheticizing some of the horrific practices of our military. But I really do believe that these issues are hard to take on, and that maybe the beauty that I employ with the photography and the humor with the national park drawings and concepts is a way of getting across a very serious idea.
What's your next trip to the desert going to be?
Aha. What I've been doing is I've been working on two series side by side. Some of these darker, more bleak things, which is like the Dead Animal Pit or the Bravo 20 work, which is in some respects very depressing. I've also been doing very lyrical, beautiful things in the Black Rock Desert, or even a series on clouds, which is just purely lyrical, just so I don't forget why I'm photographing all these bleak things. But the most recent series has been I found two Playboy magazines that were used for target practice near the nuclear test site. And it's very upsetting. It's probably the most upsetting work, in a sense, because although the women on the covers were the intended targets, all aspects of American culture, as reflected inside the magazines, were riddled with violence. Everything from race, gender, class, even language itself, were riddled with bullets. So this has been the most recent metaphor that I've worked on.
Photographer Richard Mizrach. His new book, Bravo 20, The Bombing of the American West, is a collection of photos taken at the Bravo 20 bombing site in the Nevada desert. This is Fresh Air.